Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Chuck Schumer or Tampon Tim Walz, where should we start? Which one do we start with? You know what? Let's start with Chuck Schumer. Let's start with Chuck Schumer, since it was so fun running into Chuck Schumer, the then Senate Majority Leader, now the Senate Minority Leader, thanks to this great victory here in Montana and elsewhere in the 2024 elections. But yeah, Chuck Schumer, I mean, the Democrats are just going after one another right now. Ever since we called Chuck Schumer's bluff on the continuing resolution and started calling it the Schumer shutdown, Schumer had to stand down, and we called his bluff. He was trying to shake down the GOP for special deals and special perks and this. They said, no, here's the deal. Pass it or we're calling it the Schumer shutdown. Now the Democrats are going after Chuck Schumer. So Chuck Schumer shows up on The View, and apparently it was a softball interview, according to the write-up from the dailycaller.com. Yeah, Schumer shows up, and it's this softball interview on The View. But here we go. The Daily Caller has this headline: Chuck Schumer's softball The View interview produces a home run GOP midterm ad. Breitbart News effectively sent out the same via X. Breitbart News said this: Chuck Schumer just delivered the money quote, both literally and figuratively, for 80% of the GOP's midterm ads. Here it is.
You know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land and water that I own, or my employees. They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and okay. We're united.
Okay.
Go.
Did they actually cheer that in the audience afterwards? That clip came via Breitbart News. My goodness, that was even worse. You guys remember when Barack Hussein Obama had the, you didn't build that? When he was lecturing business owners across America. You didn't build that. Somebody else built that. And, oh, man, did that tick people off. Like, oh, really? I didn't build this? You know how many hours I worked? So, you know, you talk about a 40-hour work week. Do you want to know the 80 hours plus that I put in to build this? Heck, even just building this radio show requires more than a 40-hour-a-week work week. But here's Chuck Schumer saying, oh, yeah, these people, they think that the government shouldn't dictate to them what they have to do on their land and with their water. The government shouldn't have to dictate to them what they can do with their money. This is so symbolic of the Montana legislature as well. The Democrats think that your money is their money. Your land is their land. Your water is their water. And they're here to take it. And the GOP wants you to be able to keep more of it that you earned, that you built. We'll get a legislative update here in just a few minutes with Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr. But first up, a great caller from Circle.
It's March 19th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Backyard Day. As the days begin to get warmer, perhaps now is the time to get our backyards in shape so we can once again enjoy them as the snow melts away. While the traditional idea of a couple of lawn chairs on a patch of grass may still be appealing, people have started to transform their backyards into spaces which allow them to unwind after a tough week. For some, it's creative ways to garden or an inviting space for gatherings. Whatever your interest may be, take the time to create the space which can bring you calm throughout the year. Also on this date, in 1918, the Congress authorizes time zones and approves daylight saving time. And in 1966, the Miners of Texas Western beat the Kentucky Wildcats 72-65. It was the first time in college basketball history that an all-black starting five won the national championship. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
tax breaks are becoming more generous for those dealing with natural disasters. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
From around the world to Washington to your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
A long-time effort coming to fruition in terms of tax breaks for those living in areas declared natural disasters. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
You can take a loss right against your income. It's not even a deduction. It has nothing to do with whether you itemize deductions or take the standard deduction.
Those dealing with natural disasters this year
don't need to wait until next year to take it on any return that hasn't yet been filed.
You can take it right against income, which is a very large benefit. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Montana legislature, so I assumed that it was Representative Jerry Schillinger on the phone lines from Circle, Montana. But it's actually Jerry in the Gallatin Valley. And hey, either way, it's great, whether it's Jerry in the Gallatin Valley or Jerry in Circle, it's great to get your phone calls. We are going to have a legislative update here in just a few minutes. Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage is going to join us in about 10 minutes. But Jerry in the Gallatin Valley, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, I could just talk about the that sand office that is really so up there in Poplar. My niece was a nurse up there in the hospital, and she kind of texted me and said some girl had kind of snitched on them over in North Dakota, and I guess it's cartels. I guess they're not real happy about things. She must have been in on it. I don't know. A bunch of money and dope come up missing anyway, but they're after her and must have her in jail in Poplar, and I thought maybe I was hoping that maybe old Denver could line us out or get report on that a little bit. But like I say, he's kind of MIA since the election. Don't know if we need to put out an APB for Denver.
Yeah,
or
Denver's our big Joe Biden fan. He was the one who when Joe Biden was installed as president, he said he could finally sleep at night.
I figured been a lot of restless nights here since the election for poor old Denver. So
for our listeners that aren't tracking, so I've gotten a few emails, a few messages. I had a message from a friend up on the High Line last night up on the Fort Peck Reservation. This is what they sent me. Unconfirmed reports that the Fort Peck tribes are on lockdown due to cartel members driving around Poplar, armed, threatening to shoot unless someone is released from custody. And my reliable source up there says he couldn't find any info on it or confirming it. I did send an email to the Roosevelt County Sheriff to see if he's got any info he can share with us. And then I also just sent an email to the Buzz in Glasgow, to Kelly, and to the Northern Plains Independent. They've done some good reporting on some of the drug related arrests up there. To see if they might be tracking anything. But, yeah, I'm hearing it from, you know, the rumor at least from a number of different people. So you're telling me that was it your daughter that's a nurse at the hospital up there? And she says, oh, yeah, there was some.
My niece is. And she's the one that sent all this stuff to me on. I mean, there's quite a substantial amount of money and drugs missing. But evidently this gal snitched and they're out to, you know, basically probably putting
out to get her. Interesting. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, especially if you've got a niece who works at the hospital there. Sounds like something crazy was going on. So there's definitely smoke. Is there fire is the question. It wouldn't surprise anybody, you know, if that happened, because look, we've seen the Mexican drug cartels targeting our reservation communities in particular, and we know they've been wreaking havoc on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. You've had Fort Peck tribal leaders testify before Congress about how the wide open southern border under Biden and Tester especially was, you know, wreaking havoc with the cartels moving in and drugs and more. But then recently we had the Northern Plains Independent reported on the three drug-related arrests, and Dan Bruner, who's a former FBI Hispanic gang expert, he said right here on this show, that's connected, he believes it's connected to Tren de Aragua, the violent Venezuelan prison gang that, of course, we had TDA arrests in Bozeman and Belgrade recently. And as I told you earlier this week on this show, those Tren de Aragua operatives that were arrested in Bozeman and Belgrade have now been deported. Speaking of Dan Bruner, he lives in Bozeman, former FBI Hispanic gang expert. He was on Fox News yesterday talking about the Tren de Aragua deportation efforts. Listen to the numbers that he shared with them.
The members, according to your numbers, are substantial. 4,000 to 5,000 in the U.S. today. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say that's right.
And all from Venezuela?
That's where we need to really do the research. I think the Venezuelan entity is the large part of that 4,000 to 5,000. But I think that they've started to probably recruit into other elements, other groups that are friendly to the Venezuelan community, including...
So it could be more than 4,000 to 5,000. Dan, did they come? How'd they get here? Did they fly? Did they walk across the border? Were they in jails in Venezuela and set free? Where?
Absolutely, all of the above. I think that the majority of them came through in the last 4 years during the Biden administration when the open border policy came through. I think a vast majority of them. I first learned about Tren de Aragua TDA right at the tail end of my career with the FBI, and they were just beginning to make entrance into the United States in southern Texas and in Florida. And within a year and a half, you have now spread to 16 or different 19 different states. That doesn't happen naturally. That happened because of the open border policies.
But do you think that the government of Venezuela was helping facilitate getting them here?
Absolutely. And they facilitated it by pushing them out, by letting them go. They've also, it's been understood that there are, the President Maduro's government has provided them financial support by getting them gold mines so that they can mine the gold. And then that turns back into the organization's funding process. So,
yeah, there you go. That was Dan Bruner. And you might recall, he was on Fox News yesterday, but you might recall when he joined us on Montana Talks late last year, shortly after the Department of Homeland Security confirmed that Tren de Aragua was operational in Montana and 16-plus states at the time, Dan Bruner said, oh, yeah, I first started noticing that a year ago. He said, but obviously, you know, he was, you know, you had to protect investigations and things like that, so he didn't speak publicly on it. But once that DHS memo came out, then it was like, okay, let's start talking about this. Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr out of Savage, Montana, with a legislative update coming up right after this. The legislature is back in action following the week-long transmittal break. I already talked about Chuck Schumer. I'll save the Tim Walz story. Tampon Tim went on Governor Newsom's podcast. This is hilarious. I'll save that one for around 8:40.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are several reactions one can make to the precipitous decline in birth rates in most rich countries, including our own. One is to stand, hands on hips, and decry the fact that people aren't having as many babies anymore. The other is to try to understand why and try to do something about it. The why is perhaps easiest to understand. There's a large economic penalty for women face when they have children. Call it the motherhood tax. Relative to those who have no children, women face a 40 to 50% decline in annual earnings over a 10-year period after the birth of their first child. And women know this. In countries where the motherhood tax is higher, birth rates are lower. The hit on earnings is eased a bit when childbearing starts at an older age, when women have acquired the network, skills, and experience to rise in their professions. But since fertility falls with age, this delays makes reproduction more problematic. That's why one path to improving overall birth rate outcomes relies on technology to extend the fertility window. I'm Patrick Buck.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Rocks. I'm Anna Eliopoulos. Semisonic is the latest act to object to President Trump using their music. Their hit Closing Time was used in a social media post, and specifically this line.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
That portion playing over video of a man with his wrists handcuffed to his waist as he's being patted down, appearing to be part of a deportation flight. In a statement, the band saying that they didn't approve of use of the song, adding, quote, "The song is about joy and possibilities and hope, and they have missed the point entirely." White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt saying that the president's message is that the borders are closed. An Oscar-winning actor is going back to his musical roots.
I'm going to Miami.
Will Smith announcing the 14-track album titled Based on a True Story, which reunites him with his producing partner, DJ Jazzy Jeff. His first album in 20 years comes out March 28th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
What if someone just...
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, we should have Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage with us on the phone lines. And then coming up starting around 8:40, we'll have the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. You can either call in now, get in the queue, but it'll be a little bit of a wait here for about another 10, 15 minutes or so. And then, yeah, we'll have the phone lines open for the second half of the show and then for, most of the 9 o'clock hour as well. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, great to hear from you. Hey, a couple of days back into action in the legislature. How was the transmittal break and how are the first couple of days back?
Thank you, Aaron. It was a good break. It was a long break. Everybody kind of needs to work our way through about 830 House bills and got about 500 of them over to the Senate. And so it was a well-deserved break. And we did some good work, good policy work the first half. And now we're kind of drilling down in the budget and, working with revenue and appropriation bills. And obviously we have the Senate bills over here and the House bills are over in the Senate. So.
What's the latest revenue estimate? I mean, the last two legislative sessions with Republican control in Helena, you let us keep more of our own money with income tax relief, property tax rebates, and more, and that fueled the economy, which fueled more revenue. We're sitting on another budget surplus again right now as we start to discuss these budgets. What is the latest estimate in terms of what the overall surplus is looking like?
Well, and that's kind of with a budget surplus. Some of that money would have been budget surplus from the 2023 session, because if the money's not spent, if they stuck it in this fund or that fund, that money, if it's not spent, just gets dropped back into the general fund. So it looks like it's, a bigger fund that's left over, which is not a bad thing. That's all good in the end anyway. I wouldn't know exactly the number, but it's anywhere between, a billion and a billion and a half. But, there's probably $750 million of that was left over from last session.
Yeah. Of course, the idea is, look, if we continue to invest in our people and invest in the economy by letting us keep more of our own money, it will continue to pay dividends for state government in Helena as well. Go ahead.
And we have a chance with these surpluses to do things that that we're not going to have to raise taxes on, whether that's putting, $300 to $500 million into, fixing the prison system so we don't have to send these guys out of state, which the state is still paying for, mm-hmm. investing, shoring up pension funds, just making sure that if we do hit volatile times, that we don't have to raise taxes.
Yeah.
And we can work with that and give, lower income tax, work with property tax, and do other things that help out the state.
Yeah, you mentioned the need to expand our prison capacity here in Montana. Yeah, First off, I'm glad that the state is at least housing these offenders somewhere, because we can't just have them continuing to roam the streets. And so, hey, if they have to go to Arizona, they have to go to Arizona. But part of the long-term problem has been that we as a state, invested too much in treatment versus incarceration. And treatment can work, but only if the inmates are ready for that treatment and desire that treatment. But we put too much of an emphasis on treatment over incarceration, and so we are severely lagging with our incarceration capacity right now. So are you seeing a consensus that you're confident that some sort of an expansion on that front will pass the legislative session?
Yeah, I do. It would be House Bill 5. That bill hasn't quite made it to the floor yet, but we do have consensus on both sides of the House and the Senate that that's something we need to do. And being we have this surplus, we can use it and not have to raid a general fund, not have to raise taxes on any, you know, on any sector of Montana to be able to have that money. And it's, you know, an investment in the future. It's something that, you know, we're, you know, my kids will not have to pay for, grandkids, anything like that. So we're, you know, we're kind of in, wanting to do it while we have the money instead of just shoving it under a, you know, mattress in a sense.
So to survive the legislative session and to survive the transmittal deadline, some bills had to clear the Senate, some bills had to clear the House. What are you most optimistic about? What are you most pleased with in terms of the bills that survived that transmittal deadline?
You know, we've passed judicial bills. You know, quite a few have died. You know, we got House Bill 42, the partisan judge bill, and there's a couple other ones that have been introduced since we've gotten back after transmittal that have appropriations in them. So we do have a few more cracks at it, but that's going to be the big one. You know, with a little bit of other judicial reform, you know, taken, making it easier for you to get a jury or making it easier if you, for people to have a jury instead of having it heard in front of a recorder, Supreme Court judges, you know, making it more of a jury by your peers, especially for constitutional cases. You know, we passed a couple, you know, pro-life bills, but that was Amy Regeer's House Bill 388. You know, we did pass House Bill 231 with Representative Jones' property tax bill, House Bill 20, and one of Larry Brewster's, which just makes it, you know, more, your property taxes at the local level more transparent. We've passed a lot of good conservative legislation.
Yeah, judicial reform and property tax relief. I know the two biggest issues that we hear about, you know, constantly as two top priorities, along with, you know, continued additional income tax relief as well. By the way, speaking of income tax relief, I don't know if you've been hearing from some of your constituents. This came up when we had the Democrat House Minority Whip and the Senate President, the Republican Senate President, on last Thursday. But a lot of people are now getting ready to file their taxes or preparing their taxes, and they're noticing that they're having to pay more, or at least what they believe is more, they're owing money to the state. It sounds, what I've gathered thus far, talking with some accountants and others, I need to get official confirmation one way or the other from the Department of Revenue, but it sounds like what the challenge, nobody actually got their taxes raised, but the withholding tables, a lot of people didn't didn't get enough money withheld throughout the year, and so that's why they're seeing a bill now that their taxes are due. Are you tracking this at all?
I have not heard about it yet, Aaron, no.
Okay, interesting. I'll share as I find more information on that front, but I have heard from a few different people across the state who are saying, whoa, why am I owing on my state taxes? I thought they cut our taxes. Yeah.
Well, and we have House Bill 337, which is an income tax relief bill or top bill, which lowers the top rate down by a half a point and raises the bottom exemption from $44,000 to $120,000, or $100,000, excuse me, and for the people that are making over $44,000 and under $100,000, that would be a 1.2% decrease in that. And then it would lower the top rate down from 5.9 to 5.5. And, you know, and trying to get to that true flat tax rate where everybody's paying the same.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah, and that'll be good. That, you know, that additional income tax relief just is what is needed. I don't know if you heard the Chuck Schumer clip that I played earlier from The View. I mean, this was almost even worse than Barack Obama saying you didn't build that. And Chuck Schumer saying, oh, yeah, these people, they don't want the government telling them what to do with their money. They don't want the government telling them what to do with their land, what to do with their water. Yeah. Exactly, Chuck. But Chuck's—he has no clue what everyday American people actually want.
Yeah, no, and we want to keep government. You know, government as small and clean as possible in the state of Montana, and not get into everybody's personal business. That's for sure.
What about water? I've got a caller on the line that we'll get to after the break when we move into the open phones portion of the show. I think wants to talk about Senate Bill 358. I saw an email from him as well, but there's a lot of talk about exempt wells and water bills, and I know even the ag community is split on some of these, where the stock growers might be backing a bill, but the Farm Bureau isn't, for example.
Yeah, and water's a tricky issue. We have, you know, so many water laws, very, very confusing, but I mean, without water in the state of Montana, there's not a whole lot we could do, especially agriculture-wise. And you've got, you know, the groups that want to say that, you know, they're, and part of it's correct, you know, we're first in line, first in use, and then you have the, you know, more animal-friendly fish people that just say all the water needs to stay in the river. And then you have the developers who are like, well, you want to build, you know, you want to take care of a housing crisis, we need water, too, to develop. You know, we need more exempt wells. And to try to get all three of these contingency groups or groups, I mean, to agree is just about impossible. So every water issue we have up here is really contentious. I'm carrying House Bill 76, which makes it to where the state, the land board, sees any private water right.
Which is an argument that Attorney General Austin Knutson has been championing, and as a member of the land board too, wanting to rein in DNRC from being able to have the ability to come in and take away a water right if it was used on a state land.
Yep, that's exactly what House Bill 676 does.
All right. Well, good stuff. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear out of Savage. Great to have you back with us here for our legislative update. Thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. It was good with you in Glendive, Aaron. Yeah. I'll visit with you later.
That was great. Yeah, it was great to see you in Glendive as well. And, yeah, I've heard, you know, all the lawmakers we ran into during the transmittal break, they're all saying what a great job Speaker Lear has been doing back there. Okay, quick break. We've got Mike in Glasgow on the phone lines. Mike, stand by. You'll be first up. And then, is this my buddy Evan Wilson? Is that the Evan on the phone lines? This guy's incredible. I can't wait to hear what Evan has to say here, covering a range of topics. Evan, stand by as well if you can.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some great callers on the phone lines now. We will get to every single one of you if you can be patient with us and hang with us on the phone lines here. First up, we've got Mike Ames from Glasgow talking about Senate Bill 358. I was talking about water and exempt well laws. I brought that up specifically with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear because I saw that Mike was already on the phone lines, and Mike had sent me an email that I got yesterday afternoon as well. Mike, thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts on Senate Bill 358 regarding exempt wells? What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Aaron, I really appreciate being on your program. I'm a water guy. I grew up in Glasgow. I have a farm and a ranch in Ballard County. Became aware of this Senate Bill 358 through the Water Well Drillers Association, and it's just a bad bill for Montana. They want to close certain aquifers, including Galton Valley, Flathead Valley, the Bitterroot Valley, the Missoula Valley, and up in Helena. And I just don't feel the state has appropriated enough resources to the DNRC to actually qualify and quantify these aquifers. And they want to use water to limit growth and limit planning and zoning. And I just feel that's a bad policy.
You know, that's interesting. There was a Sydney lawmaker who was in Glendive a couple Fridays ago as well for the Lincoln Reagan dinner when I was there, and she said she has a bill to study the aquifer in the Sydney area, you know, to see just how much water is actually there. And so it sounds like that's probably what your message is, hey, why don't we find out what the water situation actually looks like before we start cutting off the ability for Montanans to access that water. So very interesting. Yeah, Mike, thanks for getting this on our radar. I know when it comes to water in general, you see this in Bozeman in particular. You hear the far leftist climate alarmist there. We don't have water. We're running out of water. Actually, no, but Bozeman gets a lot of water and a lot of snow. But we just send all that water downstream every year. You know, maybe we need to do what our forefathers did, which is figure out ways to store more of that water so that we have it for the various uses that we need it for, right? Mike, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. And, yeah, keep me updated on this, and maybe one of these days we can do a deep dive on some of these deep wells and things like that here with a number of different guests. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for the email as well. Next up on the phone lines, it's him. It's my good buddy, Evan Wilson. Evan Wilson is a great Montana guy, a Billings Senior High graduate, and one of our nation's prominent pollsters. He's the guy, I told you last summer, the reason why I knew and the reason why I could tell Chuck Schumer that he was going to lose the Senate race here in Montana is because my buddy Evan Wilson knows the numbers. Evan, what a nice surprise phone call here this morning. You saw the Montana Talks tweet that our producer Caden sent out that the phone lines were open, and you said, what the heck? I'm going to call in.
Good morning, Montana. Good morning, Aaron. Thank you. That's a very honorable intro I get each time. You know, I got a day full of conference calls here at work down in Denver, but when you consider what's ahead in your day and you realize you got a chance to talk to Montanans, always talk to Montanans. And, you know, kudos to your program. I mean, where else can you hop on the radio in the morning and listen to the Speaker of the House in the middle of the legislative session talk about issues that are facing legislators in Helena? It's a great town hall. It's a great, place to be. Speaking of, I'm calling this morning from Denver, Colorado. I want to wish all of the basketball fans of Montana safe travels. I know we've got the Lady Bobcats. Phenomenal finish to the end of their regular season. They're heading over to March Madness on the female side. On the men's side, for folks coming down, safe travels to Denver. Let's beat those Badgers on Thursday. So go Grizz, go Cats, go Montana.
Hey, are you going to make it to the Grizz game against Wisconsin? Yeah, I saw they were playing in Denver, and I thought of you. If I was smart, I would try to come, stay on your couch for a couple of days and try to score tickets to the game myself. Are you going to make it?
You know, I'm still up in the air. I might. I mean, to be honest, there's about two television events that are must-see TV. Number one being presidential debates featuring Donald Trump, and number two being the Thursday and Friday of March Madness. I mean, there's nothing better than sitting there watching, 20 games at once. But, I got my kids. I might pull them out of school and hop over to Ball Arena. We'll see. It's going to be a zoo. But I'll certainly be rooting for the Grizz and the Lady Cats this week as we start March Madness.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. You told our producer, man, you could talk about that. You could talk about Elon Musk rescuing the astronauts or Mike Waltz. Tim Walz. Is it Tim Walz you wanted to talk about or Mike Waltz?
Tim Walz and Elon Musk. Let's start with, Elon. As a professional pollster, I'm constantly curious what voters think about people and issues. And it's perplexing to me sitting here. I mean, I've got a Tesla dealership about, I don't know, it's probably 10 minutes from my house. I was there taking my wife's Lincoln for maintenance last week, and I drove down the street, prominent street in Denver, and there's just 100 protesters outside the Tesla dealership.
Cool.
Obviously protesting Doge, protesting Trump, protesting Elon Musk. And I would give anything as a professional market researcher to sit down with these same group of people and ask them, the morning after Elon Musk, SpaceX, and that Dragon capsule rescues four astronauts, including a Russian cosmonaut, do you hate Elon or do you hate the idea? Because we're really kind of confused over where all of this misplaced, hatred is. Mm-hmm. And you can tie that in a little bit to Tim Walz in the sense of, Democrats right now across America just seem to be lost in the wilderness. I mean, when Tim Walz is traveling to Montana for Mansfield Metcalf last month, talking about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a Democrat in 2025, I don't even know where to begin.
Did you hear the soundbite from Tim Walz? This is Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. He was Kamala Harris's running mate. He went on Gavin Newsom's podcast. Did you hear any of the soundbites from that at all, Evan?
No, I saw some of your stuff, but I, you know, yeah. Again, it's basically feigning outrage, as I understand it, because normal voters couldn't quite buy into the fact that National Democrats just aren't winning male votes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Tim and Gavin might think that we like to make fun of them and, you know, call them semi or whatever, but that's not even, that's not the case. The reality is they're just wrong on the issues. And every time that they try to speak about issues that folks in flyover country, including men, care about, they just miss it terribly. I mean, anybody who ever saw the Kamala Harris for Men ad, that's like must-see TV too.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, for Tampon Tim, it's like, dude, it's not about you being a wuss. It's about you putting tampons in the little boys' room. It's about you putting on a camouflage hat and pretending to be an everyday American when you're a radical left-wing nut job. Evan, I'm gonna put you on hold for just a second so you can hear this soundbite since you haven't heard it yet. Here's Tampon Tim Walz complaining about the fact that Fox News showed footage of him drinking with a straw. Oh, let me see if I can get it playing for you here. Hold on. There we go.
It just baffled me how much time they spent trying to attack me that I wasn't, like, masculine enough in their vision. Yes. Like, I would have never believed this. I saw Fox News did, like, a couple days because I used a straw. And I'm like, hell, man, what am I? How else do you drink a milkshake type of thing? But they focused on it obsessively, which I think, again, is their obsession, their weirdness. We buy their frame on these issues of sexuality, you know. But the whole thing was that they spent all their time, these guys, on Fox News, that Walz is gay, he's not masculine, you know.
Actually, I don't even remember the clip of them showing him drinking with a straw. I remember the Elmer Fudd clip, though, where he was struggling with a shotgun, but yet he pretended to be this big-time hunter. Evan Wilson, your reaction.
Well, yeah, I don't consider myself a professional much other than being a Montanan, but, you know, when we work in these national campaigns and you're trying to craft an image and get buy-in from voters, especially voters on the fence, I mean, nobody was targeting Tim. Tim, first off, it wasn't about you. It was about our country. It was about issues that are important. And secondly, even when you guys, like, went behind closed doors and didn't have a true convention, and out came Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they tried to craft this message that somehow, you know, Walz and Harris could resonate with everyday voters and male voters, and it was just complete garbage, beyond believability. For example, on the professionally crafted nationwide commercial that introduced Tim Walz and Kamala Harris as this was a ticket for men, I just watched it this morning because it makes me laugh. It was somebody talking about, like, you know, I can eat my steak rare, and that makes me a man. And it's like, I've been to a lot of cookouts and grills in Montana. Crow Fair is a perfect example. Nobody goes to Crow Fair and walks around, you know, strutting because they just had a burger that was rare or medium rare. It's just not something we do.
Yeah, that's
right?
Funny. Old Tampon Tim, big mad because they showed him drinking with a straw. Hold that thought. Quick break.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The SpaceX recovery ship will be stationed nearby to haul the spacecraft on board so the crew can be helped out of the Crew Dragon's cabin onto stretchers for initial medical checks. Talking to people that know a lot more about this than I do, their understanding is that these two astronauts that had only, remember, their planned mission was for 8 days, and they will have a tough time adjusting to the gravity that we all experience here on Earth. It will be quite an adjustment, not an easy adjustment, because that's not what they trained for. And so our hope and our prayer today is that by the end of this show, that they land safely and can be reunited with their families sooner rather than later.
The Conservative Underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Only two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk.
That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. There's lots of different factors that come into play when dealing with moving costs. Two of the biggest ones are the distance of the move and how much stuff you have. A local move of a single person from a one-bedroom apartment to another is generally going to be cheaper than a long-distance move for a family of five. Moving.com estimates that the cost of a local move to be about $1,200 and a long-distance move of 1,000 miles to be nearly $4,900. However, these figures can vary depending on the method of moving you choose. If you move completely on your own, it's typically going to cost less than hiring movers. Forbes estimates that the cost to hire movers is around $2,100 for a local move and $5,500 for long distance. Another big cost is the price to ship your car. If you have someone to drive your car to your new place, no worries about shipping costs. But if you have your vehicle shipped, that can be a huge expense. And the cheapest days to move are between Monday and Thursday. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Great to get your phone calls here on Montana Talks on this Wednesday, because for Thursday's show, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Plentywood. I'll be at the Farm Expo tomorrow morning for this show. So as you know, when I take the show on the road, it's a little hard to take your phone calls. I get feedback, a little, it's just, and when we take the show out on the road, we like to see folks in person and get folks on the microphone physically instead of just over the phone line. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. We've got a great lineup already getting put together for our Farm Expo coverage from Plentywood tomorrow. But let's get back to your phone calls. That was so great to hear from my friend Evan Wilson. He just saw our tweet. Phone lines are open. He's like, what the heck? Why not call in? We're going to have more open phones time in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup next up on the phone lines. Nancy, great to hear from you.
Well, good morning, Montana Talks family. I'm very, very unhappy right now. I just want to say the beauty and the effectiveness of our Constitution is a separation of powers. And unfortunately, these judges, federal judges that people like Obama put in place, are destroying the Constitution. James Madison, of course, wrote the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson gave us our Declaration of Independence, and they're both threatened by federal judges who are corrupt. I just have to say that these Venezuelan gang members, President Trump is doing what he told us was. He took an oath to protect our country and also the American people. He what was it, 281 he had flown into the El Salvadorian prison.
Yeah.
And you're telling us there's 4,000 to 5,000 in the country altogether, the infiltrating other gangs, plus the Mexican cartel. And I just want to say this. This is going to embolden these SOBs in our country. They're going to figure that the law, these federal judges are on their side. The hell with what the president says or anybody else. They're going to do what they want to. And they're doing crimes that are so heinous we can't even discuss them or
make
them over the air. They're so terrible.
Even but the cartels. Even the cartels are like, well, whoa, what's TDA doing? When even the drug cartels, which are vicious, are saying, wow, TDA takes it to another level. That tells you something. Yeah, Nancy, great to hear from you. Speaking of that judge, this Obama judge who's trying to be judge, jury, and releaser, et cetera, with these violent, child rapists and murderers. Stephen Miller, he did an incredible job debating a CNN anchor. It was like a 10-minute long segment that I had fun watching, but Sean Hannity had a good summary last night.
if I can get this audio clip to play for you. Here we go.
Stephen Miller joined Fake News CNN to discuss Donald Trump's decision to invoke the wartime Alien Enemies Act to deport members of the Tren de Aragua gang and schooled the host Casey Hunt on the rule of law, Constitution, and much more. She may want to do research before she brings Stephen back next time. Take a look.
The president's designation of Tren de Aragua as a foreign terrorist organization and as an alien enemy are part of his inherent plenary authority. There is
so
no way.
At what point in the system,
no way,
Stephen,
how are you going to expel?
Hold power.
On. How are you going to expel illegal alien invaders from our country who are raping little girls, who are murdering little girls, if each and every deportation has to be adjudicated in a district court judge? And that means you have no country. It means you have no sovereignty. It means you have no future.
This went on for 10 minutes. It was a beatdown. It was more.
All right. And so, yeah, then Stephen Miller continued on Hannity's program last night. But what the point that Stephen Miller and others are making is that the Supreme Court has already addressed this, that they are well within the authority to do so. There was a case of, was it 1948 or was it in the early 50s? I know Stephen Miller sent it out via X. But this is, once again, just like we're seeing with our left-wing liberal majority mob on the Montana Supreme Court, these federal judges think that they can be the tyrants in black robes that get to decide everything in this country.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are several reactions one can make to the precipitous decline in birth rates in most rich countries, including our own. One is to stand, hands on hips, and decry the fact that people aren't having as many babies anymore. The other is to try to understand why and try to do something about it. The why is perhaps easiest to understand. There's a large economic penalty for women face when they have children. Call it the motherhood tax. Relative to those who have no children, women face a 40 to 50% decline in annual earnings over a 10-year period after the birth of their first child. And women know this. In countries where the motherhood tax is higher, birth rates are lower. The hit on earnings is eased a bit when childbearing starts at an older age, when women have acquired the network, skills, and experience to rise in their professions. But since fertility falls with age, this delays makes reproduction more problematic. That's why one path to improving overall birth rate outcomes relies on technology to extend the fertility window. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.